This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
The Dodgers lose. It's Johnny B.
Yes.
The Dodgers lose.
Well, I just got through watching the end of it. That was sweet.
Oh, man. That was, I got to see the highlights of it. I forced myself to go to sleep early, woke up, saw highlights, and I was like, man, you know, the Rays are the most, you know, well-prepared, scrappy team around, I feel like. They just know what to do in the right time. They're very opportunistic.
They come up big in big situations.
Yes, yes.
That's why they beat us.
Yeah, they come up big in those situations. They're very scrappy, got great pitching, and they're, you know, obviously their fielding was out of this world good. You thought that you're playing against an all-star team of gold glovers.
Well, look at those first two games we lost to them.
Yeah.
I mean, we hit the ball on the screws like crazy all over the place, and there was 20 guys on the field instead of 9.
Oh, exactly. I mean, their infield deserves so much credit, man. They were outstanding.
Outfield, too. They got some animals out there, some racehorses.
Well, hey, man, my hope for the Rays is that they can some way, somehow get a new stadium. Because that place is an absolute dump where they play.
Have you been to that stadium?
Golly. You thought if the Astrodome was still around and they hadn't done any, like, renovations.
Right.
It's basically like the Dome. It's depressing. It looks like hospital lights are in there. You're like, oh, am I going in for surgery today? What's happening?
Oh, well. Well, cool. It's Sunday. It's our Friday, Johnny B. So
yeah, it is.
Let's get this show on the road. We'll get going here, or try to. All right, Galveston right now down on the island. Noticed it warmed up during the night. The winds went towards the east, warm air coming off the Gulf. And don't take your eyes off the tropics. It's developing in the Western Caribbean. They claim by later on this week we will have some kind of storm in the Gulf, and it looks like Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida is the target again. So you can't make this up. I mean, it's almost November. All right, today we're looking at cloudy skies, high of 76 down on the island. Winds will be east 10 to 20 tonight, southeast winds 10 to 20. And then for tomorrow, 20% chance with mostly cloudy skies, high of 79. Winds will be southeast 10 to 20. So that next front approaching is going to kick these winds up. We'll have a pretty good sucking blow going. So here we go again. All right, looking at tides for today, we're still on that old two tide schedule. We have a high that occurred at 2:40 a.m. It was a 1.8. Now a low will come up tonight at 7:22 p.m. at 0.5. Our moon phase is 62%, and sunrise this morning will be 7:28 p.m. and sunset 6:39 p.m. Current conditions, Offshore, the buoy 22 nautical miles east of Galveston. We're showing an east-southeast wind at 4, gusting to 9. Barometric pressure dropped quite a bit overnight. It's down to 29.92 inches. And Eagle Point, we have an east-northeast wind at 10 to 11. And at Morgan's Point, a northeast wind at 7 to 8, 29.94 inches on the barometric pressure. Eagle Point, we have 74-degree water. Morgan's Point, 77. That's what it is offshore, 77. So there it is. So welcome to the Sunday show here, Open Line Fun Sunday. Once sickos get up and motivated and running where they can actually talk, they'll be calling in the 6 o'clock hour. But now we're going to go down and get started off with a hammer down in the Tri-Bay area, see what he's up to this morning. Captain Glenn Hammond, what's up, Glenn?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. Doing just great, buddy. Thank you.
Well,
hey, hey, no, it's quiet, mighty quiet down here this morning, buddy. 0 to 3 miles an hour is what I'm looking at. And it's northwest this morning. But it blew good all day yesterday. I thought that warm front was going to turn around real quick, but we got north winds all afternoon and all day yesterday. But hey man, it's fun and getting to spend some quality time Friday morning with my nephew Eric that came down from Alvin and wanted to do some fishing. And man, we put some hop-o-matics on the boat and went for a ride with a bull tad. Water everywhere. I actually had to get to the boat ramp. You had to go real slow through the water. About 6 inches of water going across the blacktop to the boat ramp. Not up on the highway. No, I'm not talking about Blue Water Highway, but I'm talking about little access roads that get back to the boat ramps. But anyway, it was a soppy deal. And hey man, we got through it and I went through every motion. I didn't go very far. We went through a couple of bays. I went through Christmas and back over to Bastrop and just kind of poked around here and there, but couldn't get anything going. No, nothing bigger than a small undersized redfish or a small undersized trout and some croakers and this and that. But actually he didn't want to keep any. I didn't want any fish, so we let everything go. And I kept three croakers, a whiting, a little yellowtail, just some panfish there's a great blue heron that hangs around with the house. And my wife and I, we kind of call him George. And man, you can tell when his feeding ain't doing very well, he sure seems to hang around a lot. And we can call his name and he'll wag his tail and he'll walk right up. I mean, not to you, but. You throw a little croaker out there on the ground, dude, and it's gone, man. So sounds real exciting down here, doesn't it? I know yesterday they had some kind of a tournament, the Gulf Coast something, maybe first day, I don't know. But a lot of big-time boats down here, and OMG, I know you've seen them, what the boat has evolved to be, you know what I mean, what they're fishing off of these days. You need like an extension ladder to get up on where they're sitting and riding. And I mean, it's just boats are way, way out there now. You know, I grew up around Falcon boats out there in Alameda off of Alameda Road and Falcon boats. And that was the beginning of shallow sport boats, actually, because Willis Hudson, when they built the shallow sport boats out there in Alameda, those were a well-built boat, you know. And then his son evolved, or grandson or whatever. His son got the shallow sport boats going, and then now his son Wes Hudson owns a company, and they've done quite well with it. And beautiful boats. I don't have one like that. I just got an old Carolina skiff. It's just a flat bottom, and that's all I can say about it. But anyway, I didn't get to see the weigh-in or anything. I was over at Bastrop Marina late yesterday afternoon, and there was quite a few boats coming in there, or already been, actually. They were leaving. I seen a couple of guys carrying their rods and their big old cardboard checks out there, and I never really was much of a tournament guy, but my heart goes out to all of them. I know they work hard for it, and that's a heck of a living. Or if you're going to choose to make it a living, make sure you know what you're doing, because I jumped out of the construction business into the guide service, and it just doesn't work out always like you want it to, but I get to do what I want to do. Anyway, yesterday, Captain Mickey, I took all my cattle feed buckets and dumped all the soil out of them, and I mixed it up with some more compost and just getting ready for the fall garden season. Probably do some broccoli and, you know, a few other plants, some green onions, some bunching onions. And I like to just, piddle around with the garden in the winter. But cool front feels nice, man. Everything's good. It's 67 degrees here this morning. Really, really calm, from 0 to 3 miles an hour. And it's still saying it's going northwest at the moment. But
it's gonna switch around east, because over my way already, it's due east. It was about 10 to 12 when I left my house this morning. So
done switching around then.
Yeah,
okay.
It's coming around.
Yeah, well, I got a 12 and a 11 and a 12 year old this morning with their dad, and he's coming in from Houston, and they're gonna meet me around 7 o'clock. I actually put the bait. There's shrimp was absolutely non-existent to buy bait shrimp down here yesterday afternoon, so I took off on over to Bastrop and over in that area and found a bait camp that had some way inland. Anything down on the coast, man, is going to be sold out. Good luck. You better get there early. But anyway, I picked them up 2.5 quarts of these things, and I swear, one shrimp weighs about 1/4 pound. These things are huge. these shrimp are OMG on steroids, dude. These are the biggest shrimp. But what I do is we throw them out there, and if a trout don't hit them on the first cast, because once they click that tail, that cork's going under, buddy. And if that doesn't happen and the piggies nibble all the legs off of them, well, I just throw them on ice, and we just wait till we can go to thebottom.com.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anyway, I'll have a lot of fun with these boys today. I look forward to it, man. Little relaxation, man. I get a couple of youngsters out there, and they can't tell me what to do. They they love learning, and you know what I mean. I love teaching. So, it's all good down in the Tri-Bay area. Like I said, it's really going to be hard for you to get some live bait down here. I looked around like late yesterday afternoon. I mean, 0, 0, 0. I called 4 or 5 different bait camps. Mm-mm, no way. So if you're wanting live shrimp, you might want to pick it up before you get down here. They might have some mullet mud minnows or something else like that. But right now, it's just slim pickings for the live bait. And let's see. I think that's about all I got, buddy. That's old hammer ran out of stuff to talk about.
Well, that's all right. That's good enough. Well, hey, if somebody wants to get with you, Glenn, give them a number out, bud.
Yes, sir. They can reach me at 713-208-0680 for booking, or they can reach me at 713-208-0683 just to bullcorn with me. Thanks, Captain Mickey. Happy fun Sunday.
All right, Glenn. Buddy. All right, good luck today. Hope you catch them. All right.
Thanks, buddy.
See you. All right, that's the hammer over in the Tri-Bay area getting things started this morning.
This guy is loco.
Let's go down south to Rockport and talk to Tony Gonzalez.
All my friends, number low rider.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It is 4:18 in the Bayou City. Now we're going to head down and talk to Tony G. Tony, what's up?
Not much, Captain Mick. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful.
Wonderful. Happier that the Dodgers lost last night, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't like the Dodgers. I hadn't liked them since Tommy Lasorda retired.
Oh, okay.
I used to like them when Tommy was coach for them, but no, I'm not much of a Dodgers fan.
I used to like them too.
Not much of a Tampa Bay fan either, but hey, they beat us, and I hope they beat the Dodgers.
Well, that was I got to meet Tom Lasorda back when I was a kid. My sister, she went to U of H for radio TV journalism. She wanted to be a sports reporter. And back then she got to interview him during that 86 Astros deal. And he offered, you know, you need some tickets? You have a little brother or sister? You want to bring your family? And she's like, I got a little brother. She's like, I have press passes. I can get him in. He's like, no, here, I'll give you some tickets and y'all can sit in like that wives section over there. Mm-hmm. And be sure to bring him down to the dugout. I'd like to meet him. So she took me down there before the game, and my sister knew, you know, a lot about what was going on back then. And you know, that person owns the Astros and this person that, and got down there, and he was, I was just starstruck, you know, and you're going to come play ball for me when you get older, you know, yes, sir, you bet, you know, and just, you know, it was a really neat experience. But what I had, I had two trips this week, and I ran down to the ranch on Tuesday. And so I was going to call this one guy that I'd done some dove hunting with a Milo field before I went to the ranch. And Desi was like, why don't you just come here? He's like, I don't have any feed going in this one pasture that Bill has kind of set up for doves. And it's kind of funny because he actually has like three makeshift telephone lines that they put up, or just like long wires with on poles.
Yeah.
So I went to that pasture, and I only ended up with five birds, but one of them was one of those ringneck birds.
Yeah.
And when I reached down to pick it up, like, golly, that thing was so big. It set it on my lap, and it was like a pigeon.
Yep. And, you shoot as many of them as you want. There's no limit on them.
Well, I felt kind of silly because I missed that second one, as big the target was, they are, and they weren't that far. That's what I was talking about. Houston was, picking on me or whatever. I was like, I was kind of missing that third shell. I was like, when I didn't have that many birds, you know, you get two birds come down, you knock one, and that other bird would kind of round around. And that was it. I didn't have that third shell to get him when he come back around, you know, after going for that double. But, and I'd planned to, I took my rifle. I was going to plan to sit, maybe shoot a hog. Desi was telling me that he's like, I wouldn't shoot a deer yet. He's like, you know, you can shoot whatever you want from what Bill says. He's like, but like a kid, he's really been kind of, don't let nobody shoot anything. I want to shoot the first thing off of the ranch this year. He's coming down this weekend. So I was like, well, maybe I'll just shoot a hog. But it got so hot. I mean, it was in the 90s. And I hung out with them, helped him for a while. Like, Desi, I'm not going to sit in the stand. I'll be roasting in there, you know, 90-something degrees. So I'm just going to head home. And when's that front coming?
Which one? The hurricane or the cold front?
Oh, no. I'm not even going to think about that hurricane.
Well, it's not a hurricane yet, but the way our luck's going, it will be.
Right.
Once it's in the Western Caribbean now, and it's got its target right in the middle of Louisiana, you know, over by Jeffco again. So here we go.
Yeah, anytime they go, they make me nervous once they get over that Yucatan, because that's usually when they come this direction or towards us, anyways.
Yeah,
but hopefully,
Tuesday looks like the wind's going to go north 10 to 15, and then Wednesday it'll be northwest 10 to 20. It'll be cooler and rainy on Wednesday. The cold front's going to be on Monday.
Oh, really?
We're going to go from south to north at 15 on Monday. See, they've moved it up. They were just talking Wednesday only, but here we go. We're in a warm front right now today. You know, that other one that went through, we're backing up, switching the winds off the Gulf again. But we're going to have north winds Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. It picks up really good on Wednesday and Thursday, and a pretty good chance of rain. It'll clear out on Thursday and Friday. We're going to be down to 49 next Saturday morning.
Oh, that'll be good not even opening. That's just Halloween.
That's for Halloween, 49 to 72. Trick or treat. Supposed to have a blue moon also for Halloween. Once in a blue moon. Yeah.
So I'll try to maybe head out early about this time on Wednesday morning. It's going to be cold. Jump in the stand.
Real quick, I got a listener that texted me. He wants to He needs a web address about deer hunting. He wants to look you up.
Okay, yeah.
Give that out.
Check out. Yeah, he can go to my website, captaintgif.com. There won't be probably maybe a picture or two of deer.
Do you spell out Captain, or is that abbreviated?
I'm sorry, abbreviate it. CAPTTGIF.com.
Okay.
And then have him, you know, give me a call direct at 210-846-5083. I'd be glad to talk to him and tell him what we, you know, what we got going on. And yeah, I'm getting excited about that. And let's see. Yeah, so I had, you know, that one, I was a little nervous because that one double drop that I'd sent you a while back, I'd sent that to Clint, the son. So, you know, I called Bill, or he called me as I was leaving the ranch, and thank you so much, Tony. I was like, yeah, I put a bunch of fish in the freezer for y'all, and, you know, thank you so much for getting them cameras going, because, you know, we really didn't have anything going on. And he's like, we looked at pictures till our eyeballs popped out of our head, and he sent me another picture of another double drop time, and then Desi was telling me about one that he had seen, and he was like, hey, I was like, this one? He's like, no, that one is nothing comparison to the one I seen. He's like, and I was telling Bill, he's like, Bill, you know, I look at all these deer every day. And that one took, you know, it was like, you know, when he says, he's like, I saw it. I was like, whoa. And he was describing, he had his hands out to the side of his arms, and he was walking like this, Tony. He turned around with his arms like, you know, like an elk antlers, basically. He's like, If you're not going to go after that one, or I don't know what your hunter wants, because my hunter's talking about, you know, maybe trying for that 200 again since he fell short last year.
Yeah.
Like, if he likes double drops, he's like, that deer is something else.
Yeah, that's a pretty deer.
Quite 7 years old, but he says it's up there.
He's in his prime.
He's in his prime. So we'll see. So then, well, Clint, and I called him because, Bill in India had told me that, well, Clint's going down. He's taking a bunch of cards, and he couldn't get them cards erased. So I was telling him, you know, hey, Clint, if you do this, he's like, Tony, I'm just going to leave them there for you. You and Desi can figure that out. So, yeah, I can put them, each one of them cameras, you can pop that card in there, and it has a little feature that says clear all, and you just wipe them out clean. And I was like, we have, you know, the information that we need so far. So that's a plan for like Wednesday morning. Go hang out. It'll be a little colder, and see if I can shoot something, or at least sit in the camera with my video camera. And if a hog comes out, I'm definitely popping one of those. And this week I had two trips. I had Thursday. I had a Mike and his wife and his little boy, and they were an HEB family, and. That was the second time. It was a referral from that last guy that was that meat science guy that worked for HEB. So they come out, and it was nice. And we ended up, what, four trout, one red. And we had, you know, several, four or five little rat reds at that when we were red fishing. We plugged away on popping cork and shrimp for a while and caught three trout. I'm sorry. No, we caught two trout. And then we went in there, and I put some mullet out on a drain. That water was super bulled up. And I was like, guys, as y'all sitting there, I'm going to go ahead and toss out a shrimp out here towards the back of the boat. And it was pretty shallow. I mean, I was only about 2 foot of water, but it was probably sitting about 3.5 foot of water. And as soon as it hit, there was a trout. I was like, whoa, and another trout. And then he threw out there, and he ended up getting one that was right at 22. Oh, that's a nice trout, Tony, because he was talking that I'd never caught a 25. And when it came up, putting on the brake, shaking his head, like, that's him right there. And I was like, well, shoot. I was like, he's 22. He's like, he's still nice, you know. And that turned out pretty good. And about 11:30, the boy was, I'm ready, you know. And I was like, you give your daddy about another 45 minutes, because the dad was liking the redfish bite. And he said, I like these redfish, Tony. They pull good, and I like the way you're doing this. And about 45 minutes later, that kid was, okay, Dad, I'm ready. And I looked over at him, and he was like a kid. He's like, I don't want to go. I was like, you better go. Like, if you ever want him to come back, you got to keep it fun. Said, okay. So they went home with four trout and one red. And then yesterday, I had a a gentleman, Anthony, and his son Anthony, and they were from out of state, and he was calling asking about bulls. And I was like, well, this is a time. If you're going to catch them, you know, October's our redfish month. And we went out there, and I took him. That north wind was you know, howling pretty good. I was like, hey, I had some redfish in here, and we're right in the downwind side of the bay. I was like, everybody's on that side of the bay, it's protected shoreline. I was like, but I'm going to use this wind. We're going to rock back and forth. And they were there. They ended up with six reds and one trout. And I was like, well, y'all got y'all's double limit, but I failed you. You didn't get one bull. But they were 27 and three quarters, 27, couple 25s. I mean, they were solid redfish. So, and we launched late, like 10 o'clock yesterday. So, like, no sense in getting out there early. It was supposed to die down. And it did. And then it started going from the south. And it was Yoo-hoo chocolate milk at first. And by the end of the day, all that sand started to settle, and it was a nice, pretty green water. Mm-hmm. And today I got something a little different. Yeah, Richard, they're staying here close at the reserve. And
well, hold that thought. I got to do a quick break. I just looked at the clock.
It's okay.
Going by quick. Hang with me. I'll be right back. All right. Speaking of muddy water, we're talking Yoo-hoo now, Tony. All right. We're back, Tony.
That's funny. Well, the gentleman I talked to yesterday, he's like staying real close, and he's just asking, you know, how my day went today, and you know, then I was like, well, what are you interested in? I was like, trout is, you know, I'm a trout snob myself, but those guys today they wanted redfish, and we did pretty well. He's like, well, I'd like a redfish or two. He's like, but he's like, Tony, we really don't even want to keep a fish today. We might keep one. Like, oh, really? And he's like, are we fishing out of the boat? I was like, yeah, most of my trips are out of the boat, you know. I was like, why, did you want to wade? He's like, well, yeah, me and my wife have waders. And we'd like to get out and do some wade fishing and just see what we can do and see if you can give us some pointers and stuff. So I'm like, well, all right. You know, I was like, it's that time. The cold water's kind of getting them. High tide's got those fish, the trout I have found have been kind of close to the grass. And I was like, that sounds fun to me, you know. So I'm going to hook them up with some Sicko specials today. You know, I'll probably start off with a topwater. I have a couple of those Colt snipers that Barrera talks about. I might try throwing some of those and put on some Lele, Hot Rod, and an old Purple Demon. And then I was digging through my waders, and I found some of those little bosses that Blog talks about. Like, oh, yeah, I'll put these on for the wife because she's going to throw a spin cast. So, I got a little different client today, and I don't know, hardly get many waders that want to throw lures, but
yeah.
That's what I'm wanting to do right now. You know,
well, there you go.
Fun.
Go for it, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. And then I got one more tomorrow, and I'm kind of – shutting down my book for the weekends for the most part. I want to spend them on the ranch or with Monty. He's got that place that he built out at the YO, and he can only hunt weekends. So so fishing trips, you know, pretty much through November, December are going to be weekday fishing trips if someone wants to go. And it's time to go, you know, count some deer and shoot some deer. And from what Desi was telling me, that he's like, we got to take off 150 this year. So, we got a lot of deer to shoot, you know, and normally we're around that 100 mark, you know, based on how the biologist has it set up with the 50 does. We try to keep, you know, 75, 50 does in one pasture, 75 and 50 does in the other pasture, plus the supplemental mm-hmm. feeding. And the biologist always talks about, you know, 100% fawn crop is 100 does or 100 fawns. That's, you know, 100 does. They don't count twins. And we have, you know, we have them dropping twins. We have some of them dropping triplets. So it does get out of balance. So maybe that's why
yeah,
we're at the 150 mark. And I guess that's a plan for now, is to try to get out there and get there with the movie camera. And that's what Bill always does, even when people, you know, bring their wives and stuff and the wives don't hunt. Well, that's okay. We'll put you in a stand. We'll corn it up for y'all, and and any deer of any significance, just videotape it. And that way we get as many eyes out there as possible and kind of pattern where they're at. And we always go back to the house and each take turns putting them up on that TV that's the size of a wall. And you can really judge those deer, pause it, and, you know, rewind. And then Miss India, she don't like bullies when we're trying to take out those. I wouldn't call them undesirables, but more management deer. Once they've reached that five-year-old mark and they're not, you know, in that 160 range or something, you know, why are we going to shoot that deer, Tony? Like, because we've gave him the chance already. He's too big and costs too much to feed. He's like, that's right. He's already, we've given the chance. And at that age, he should be at least this big. And, you know, we're real proud that it's South Texas genetics there. And no tags in the ears, never been touched by human hands. And it's kind of a little a neat niche he's got now, especially with all the northern deer being brought in. And I've never been one to pass judgment on anybody. But my hunter last year, that's how I got him. That he was one in South Texas genetics. And he was, you know, he's like, Tony, I'm anti this northern deer. I'm like, really? Like, I've always kind of been, you know, it's your property, do what you want. He's like, well, he's like, I fear that at some point, he's like, it's not if a fence is going to go down, it's when. He's like, a storm knocks it down, or some drunk guy drives through the fence, or a tree goes down. He's like, when those deer start getting out, he's like, they're going to start crossbreeding with all our South Texas genetics. And he's like, at some point, we may not really have any true South Texas genetics anymore. We might have all these hybrid type deer. I'm like, wow, like I never looked at it like that. I was like, you know, they used to stock smallmouth bass in Canyon Lake a long time ago, and they stopped doing it because they were starting to crossbreed with the Texas Guadalupe bass. So TPWD just, you know, stopped doing that because they were afraid that was going to happen. They were going to eventually not be any Guadalupe bass.
True Guadalupe bass left. That's true. That's right.
So it's kind of, you learn something new every day, you know, from somebody. And I didn't come up with that. But it does make sense. There's logic behind it. And so that's what I'm looking forward to. And get a little rain on that soil. You know, my sinuses kind of get messed up down there when it's dry, and that little thin red dirt gets up in the air. Hopefully it'll be nice and cool. And here coming up, what, this weekend, they're in Canyon Lake, or what you call East Edwards Plateau. That would be kind of Hays County, Comal County, that eastern edge of Kendall County, which is like Bernie. I would see those deer on the way going into San Antonio. I used to go 46 to Bernie down Ralph Fair Road to that Fair Oaks Ranch neighborhood. And we could see those deer rutting. And I remember on the way to work back then that I'd see a deer, I'd pull over, two or other trucks would pull over and watch a deer out there in the middle of the field, you know, chasing or dogging a doe. And those guys would get out of their truck and come to my truck or whatever and be like, I'm going to stand tonight. They're ready. Like, you hear that they do rut early on that, you know, that eastern edge. So if you have a lease or family out there that has a lease, I do recommend this weekend, if that cold front's being there, you better get out there, because they will be chasing this weekend coming up. So,
well, good deal. Well, hey man, I got to run. If somebody wants to call you about going fishing in Rockport or doing some deer hunting with you this winter, Tony, give them a number out, bud.
Sure. You can reach me at 210-846-5083. Or go online to CaptainTGIF.com, abbreviate Captain.
All right, Tony G. Well, it's always good talking to you, and good luck with your wading trip today. You're going to have a good, easy day on the bay.
Oh, knock on wood. I hope so.
Oh, yeah, you will. All right, bud. Well, Tony, I'll talk to you next week. You have a good one, my friend.
You too, Kermit. Thanks.
All right, see you, bud. All right, it's Tony G down in Rockport, and next up we're going to go to Freeport, of all places, good old Freeport, Texas, and we're going to talk to old Captain Jeff Naylor. I just call him Nailum Naylor. He's always nailing something. Jeff, are you there?
You bet, brother.
Nail him up,
always.
Baby.
That's it.
Nail him to the wall.
You dang right. Every chance I get, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Man, Yeah, we're going to finally blast off. We had a good, solid week. It just shut down, terrible weather. And, man, we're about to blast off this morning and go do some fishing.
Good.
So I'm fairly excited. We got probably going to do some sword fishing and some
Cool.
And, yeah. You, as a matter of fact, you inspired it when you told me how low that barometric pressure is dropping, or 29 ought to be dang good.
Yeah, it's falling. You know, we got that Caribbean thing going to head into the Gulf. And,
right.
Man, you might find some good snapping going on out there today.
And we're sure going to give it a try, man. And I know everybody's been talking about the World Series. And man, I've just been drooling over the Bisbees down in Cabo.
Yeah, I failed to mention that. Plog and I should have talked about it yesterday because he's all in, you know, he's into it like you are on that bill fishing. And that's the big kahuna tournament right there, bud. The Bisbees, black
it.
And blue.
That's it. 4.6 million and nobody caught a winged fish. 127 boats from around the world, you know, fish that. Day one and day two, I believe there was two fish weighed in, and neither one of them, they both disqualified. They were right under a 200-pound minimum mark.
Oh, man.
And, yeah, that's terrible. But, you know, that's how desperate people were. I think the previous I know two guys down there right now, and they said that the water down there is super hot. It's like 90 degrees, 91. And
that's what happened a few years ago with some buddies of mine from Baytown that won it. And they had to go way north into some cooler water, and they caught a big one, and they won the whole thing. You know the
did they really?
Yeah, yeah. It was the Eccles and the Hazelwoods, and
there you go,
man. That was a big win for them. I forget how many million they won in that one. It was big though. It's crazy.
Boy, I'm telling you, I try to picture in my head too. You know, come Saturday, last day. You know. Everything on the line, you hook up. They had two people. We, you know, they do that live update thing, so we're kind of watching it. And they had two people yesterday hook up. One fought for 5.5 hours. I didn't really see what happened. I didn't see the end result of it. Obviously, they didn't kill the fish, but, you know, they're fighting something for 5 hours. You'd imagine that it's over 200. So unless they were in the release category, which – boy, I don't know. I mean, last day, 4.6, nobody's won any, brought any to the scale. I think you'd be crazy not to kill something if you had the opportunity.
Well, you have to.
You know? Yeah, I mean, that money just floats, you know. And so, anyhow, that was kind of interesting. You know, like I said, seen plenty of people.
How does that work? Did they? So the tournament's over and nobody weighed in a fish, right?
Right.
So right. What nobody do they do?
Fish, but I'd lie to you if I told you how the money gets divided after that. I just know that, you know, I think it diverts more back to the release points. So there's several boats that released marlin. And there were some stripes caught and stuff like that. So there was points on the board. I mean, King Shu had 900 points. Overtime had 600. So, I mean, they were releasing some fish.
Yeah.
But as far as how they divvy that money up, I couldn't, you know,
yeah.
I'd lie to you if I told you.
4.6 million is not anything to sneeze at.
No.
I can use a shot in arm like that.
That's right, man. I take a big old check with a few zeros on it, no problem. But, you know, kind of is what it is, you know. But other than that, you know, I got to hang out this week with some – the Cundiff family, which is Captain Elliot Cundiff, and those guys down here, Freeport, man, and just talk history and stuff like that. Some of the sport fishing.
Isn't that fun to sit around with knowledgeable people like that and hear all that good stuff? That's so cool.
Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. Mm. You know, and it's the more you get into this industry, the more you realize that, you know, people who stay doing it, and were able to survive, you know, it just typically has some very, very, very awesome stories, you know, and of course they diversified. They had the party boats, and then they had the crew boats, you know, side business. And, you know, for years I thought that after they went down on the limits for snapper and then the price of fuel went up, you know, that was kind of the demise of Captain Elliott's party boats and stuff. But in actuality, you know, he said they probably could have survived that. But they were doing oil field stuff. The oil field just started booming. And, mm-hmm. of course, they had the crew boats and decided to just point their direct, you know, their efforts toward crew boats and stuff. But, yeah, now his story's out of this world. I mean, you know, Elliott, he used to build all his boats. And, you know, and he would design them himself and all that kind of stuff. And it's just, it's incredible, you know, things that he's
pioneers,
done,
man,
that family. I'm telling you. One of his claim to fame boats, he said, is the 205-foot basically warp boat, had like 8,000 horsepower, four motors in it, something like that. And he said at the time he was building it, and he couldn't the people were leasing those boats out or renting those boats out from him, and by the time it got built, it kind of took a dump on him, and so. You know, of course, now you got this humongous payment, you know, multi-million dollar boat.
Yeah.
You know, it's not making very much money. So he ended up selling it to SpaceX program. So it's one of the boats down in Florida that go out and catch the capsule or what have you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure.
I thought that was kind of neat. But and I got to talk to last night some biologists and some scientists and stuff like that for the oil and gas industry, and they were telling me that Nance, Boomvang, and Gunnison will more than likely be chopped down, if not this fall, early spring next year.
Boy, that's
bites. What they're predicting. Oh, it does. It does. That's going to take a, you know, pretty good little hit for us and what we can do and how we can go about it, but it's a little heartbreaking, but at the same time, I mean, you know, it's just the evolution of things. You know, you got to kind of, you know, make other plans and diversify a little bit. It's just no big deal. But, you know, they've been talking about it for years, and I've never actually heard anybody say, okay, yeah, it's going down. You know, I've seen the work boats out there and stuff like that and the drill ships and never really seen anybody go out there, you know, with the big cranes and all that necessary to take it down, but it looks like it's going to come down. Apparently they're real quick to take down too. So it's not as if it's a big, long drawn out process. I mean, they basically chopped the chains on it, you know, flipped the sucker sideways and floated off, you know? So, but anyways, it was kind of interesting. And then, speaking of the biologists and stuff like that, I spoke with Mike Jennings this week. I know we had talked about in the past a couple weeks ago about the CCA document that they came out with, the report, the miscalculations on the quotas. And Mike Jennings, he does cowboy charters down here in Freeport. Works really close with the NOAA and the Gulf Councils. Yeah. And so he's been doing a lot of this year, a lot of stuff with the Gulf Council and I think A&M University or something like that, and counts and all that kind of stuff. So he promises me that, you know, though they may have misjudged the overall population of the snapper, he said you shouldn't be awaiting any kind of extra days, because I actually saw an article posted about the recommendation to open back up some weekends in October, November for snapper. And he said, don't bet on it. So, you know, just something to follow up with on that report if somebody was just dying to or saw the potential for new days. But it doesn't look like it's going to happen this year.
All right.
So,
well, man, I got to leave it at that. It's time for the break. And, Jeff, if somebody wants to get with you out of Freeport, give them some info, bud.
You bet, brother. Call me anytime at 979-417-1013. You can go to our website at stsladventures.com. That's short for South Texas Salt Life Adventures.com. We have a booking calendar right there on the website. And call me if you have any questions. We're going to start doing a lot of tuna trips here. It's really red hot right now. So give us a holler.
Very good. All right, Jeff, always a pleasure talking to you. I'll talk to you next week. Go get them today, man. Hope y'all light them up.
Hi, brother. Have a good Sunday.
Okay, see you, Jeff. Take care, buddy. All right, that's Captain Jeff Naylor out of Freeport.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.